Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3. Okay, Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for this morning. We thank you for everyone that's here. We thank you for giving us just this time to get together and to worship you and to hear your word. And I just pray, Father, that you would come and release the spirit of revelation, God, that you would open our hearts to hear, open our ears to hear and open our hearts to receive, God, what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today. So we give you this time and we thank you. We love you, Lord. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So I get to preach to the big church maybe 2 or 3 times a year. It's always a very exciting thing. It's always a very stressful thing. I can tell you I'm very tired today, but from staying up, late last night, preparing and just praying and trying to get this thing ready. But I've been praying, this week about, what does God want me to share? What's the word that God has for our church for today through me? And I've been praying, and I was thinking about it, and we've gone through about halfway through this year, right? And our theme this year is the year of reaping, We're praying and contending for things that God has put upon our heart, and we're believing that this is the year that God will do many amazing things, in our lives and through our lives. And halfway through the year, and I felt like God just wanted to encourage us with this word to say, keep going. It's only halfway through. If you're still contending for things that haven't come through yet, don't give up, right? This is still the year of reaping. It goes on for another 6 months. And God, I believe he wants us to know that if we run with endurance, that we would really see, the power of God and the hand of God upon our lives. What are the things that God has put upon your heart this year, right? Every new year, we take some time, right, to write down on a piece of paper, a post-it note, and we write down the things that God puts upon our heart, right? And normally, we put it in the front of our Bible. I mean, that's what I do. Every year, I put it at the front of my Bible so I can look back at it and pray about it and contend for these things. And for our last house church, if you didn't know, I'm a house church leader at Robinson Road House Church, and we are still open. Right? If you're looking for a house church, we start back in September. And for our last house church meeting this past season, it was only a few weeks ago, right? 2 weeks ago. And what we did was we had a time of sharing. We said, what are the breakthroughs that you have experienced so far? And what are the things that you're still contending for? And we shared some of the breakthroughs. And we had some great breakthroughs. We had family salvation. We had jobs, people that were looking for jobs. We had testimonies about inner healing, dealing with father issues and growing and really finding joy at this church and really becoming a member of the church. And then Bernice, shares with us today that she's, having twin girls, right? And these are breakthroughs that we have already experienced this year. But there are still things that we're contending for. There are still things that people shared, and they're like, yeah, we're still praying for this, still praying for my dad's salvation, still praying for this and that. And if you remember Sean Smith, he's a really popular speaker at SVB. We love to have him over here. He's from the States. And he said this, and it really just stuck with me. He said one of his greatest fears is that he would go through 1 year and look back at the past year and realize that he hadn't grown at all, that he had kind of remained stagnant, right? And I think it's true. We don't ever want to go through a whole year and look back at the year and say, man, what did we do this past year? You know, like, how did I grow? What have we accomplished? And so I want to encourage us to look back at the things that God has put upon our heart for this year, 2010, and really contend and run with endurance for the things that God has called us for. So this passage that we read today, two things stand out for me. The first is this phrase, the race that is set before us, right? The race that is set before us. That kind of implies that there is a goal in mind, right? When you're on a race, there is a finish line, right? Well, the title of this message is Run to the Finish Line, you know? You know, a race that is set before, that implies that there's a goal in mind, that we're not just running aimlessly, but that we're running a race and there is an end to it, there is a finish line that we want to go for. If we can turn to Acts chapter 20, verse 24, please. Acts 20, verse 24. This is Paul speaking, and he says, "But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." Paul is saying here that his race, the course that he has received from God, the task and the ministry that he has received from God, his race is to testify of the gospel and to preach the gospel. And the thing is, the race is different for all of us, right? The goal, the thing that God has put upon each of our heart may be different. You're not all going to have the same goal. You're not all going to be running the same race, but there is a race, and we need to hear from God what it is that he has put us on this earth for, right? I really wanted to share with us and wanted us to understand this and to believe it and to live this life this way, that there is a purpose for which, you know, for which we exist here on this earth. And there is a purpose that God has for your life on this earth and in this year. And it is not just so that you can, you know, make a lot of money, you know? I mean, that's a good goal, but I believe when God has put, the purpose that God has put upon our lives is bigger than just let's survive, you know, let's make a lot of money and let's just be happy. You know, God has a goal in place for you. And what I really wanted to say was, one day, you know, I'll give you some scriptures. Romans 14, 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. It all talks about one thing. It talks about the judgment seat of Christ, and how one day, at the end of our lives, we're going to stand before the Lord, and we're going to have to give an account for our lives, right? There is a judgment day coming, and one day, we're going to stand before God, and he's going to ask us, how did you live your life? And we're going to have to give an account. And if we live this life aimlessly, kind of running, but we're not really doing, no, we don't really know what we're doing, we don't really know what kind of race we're in, then what kind of account are you going to give to the Lord? I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I just, you know, I enjoyed my life. You know, I ate at really nice restaurants all the time. You know, I mean, what are we going to say when we stand before the Lord to give an account for our lives? And I really hope that we can live our lives with this in mind, you know, that one day we're going to stand before Christ and we're going to give an account. We're going to say, yeah, this is how I live my life. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, he says, run in such a way that you might win. But we're not going to be able to run in that way if we don't even know what kind of race we're in. So the first thing that I really want to encourage us is we need to really hear from God and find out what is it for this year, the year of reaping, what is it that God has put upon our hearts? And we do this thing in the new year, we call it the New Year's resolution. I want to challenge you to look back at it. And if you weren't with us in the new year, that's okay. But you can do a mid-year resolution, you know, and say, man, for the rest of the year, how am I going to live my life? Well, what are the things that God has put upon my heart to contend for, to pray for, and how am I going to do this? And that's the first thing, the race that is set before. There's a goal in mind. The second thing is, the writer of Hebrews says, run with endurance the race that is set before us. He doesn't say, you know, I thought it was interesting. He doesn't say endure till the very end. But he says, run with endurance. And the difference is, if you are saying endure till the very end, it's a very passive kind of waiting role. You know, the picture that I have of enduring till the end is, you know, Hong Kong, we have a lot of flash rain, right? All of a sudden, it'll be nice and sunny, and then it'll start pouring. You're like, what the? And you're not ready for it. And one day, I was going to have lunch outside. It was a nice day, and then it just started pouring. So what do? We always usually run to a place where there's a covering, and we kind of endure the rain till the rain is over. And then we walk, right? That's enduring till the very end. That's a very passive, that's kind of hiding, kind of cowering, and just like waiting till this, you know, this trial is over or whatever. But, you know, the writer of Hebrews, and God, through the writer of Hebrews, doesn't say endure. He says run. Run with endurance. And it's very different. It's a run with endurance means you're focused, right? And you're engaged, and you're passionate, and you're active. You're doing something, right? We have a few runners at our church. We don't have any that I, there's David. David's a runner, right? And we have Sandro, and we have Stuart, who just ran the Gobi Desert, right? And, you know, we have a few runners, and they can tell you that when you run, you need to run with endurance, you know? I mean, I've been kind of running here and there, and I'm not a runner, but I just started maybe a week ago running on the treadmill, you know? It's a start, but Kenny and I, we work out together, and we started running, and we decided, you know, we need to do some cardio, you know, it warms us up. So I've been running, and my goal, apparently it's kind of a really hard goal, but, you know, my goal is to run 5K on the treadmill in 20 minutes. So I don't know if that's, I don't know, you can tell me, David can tell me if that's crazy or not, but I think I can run about 4K, but, you know, When you're running on the treadmill, you have to keep going, hey? You can't stop running. You can't just endure. You're like, oh, I'm so tired, I'm just going to endure. You're going to fall off the treadmill, right? Because the treadmill keeps on going. You have to keep on running until you reach the end, right? And that's the thing. God doesn't say endure till the end. God says run. And the things that he's put upon your heart. So there are examples of things that God has put upon my heart. I want to operate in healing, right? In supernatural healing. That is something, you know, ever since coming to SP or ever since I was young, I really just wanted to be able to pray for people and see them healed. You know, I feel like that's what Jesus wants us to do. Sick people come to you. Jesus wants us to pray for them and to have them healed. And so, you know, I've been doing it, you know, trying it out here and there, and whenever someone's like, oh, let me pray for you, you know, but over the years, so I came here in 04, so over like 6 years, I might have seen maybe one or two, like, really, like, I don't even know if I've seen one or two, like, I don't know, it's always like, oh, it's kind of okay, like, oh, you have a headache, let me pray for you, is it better? Maybe, you know, maybe, you know, like, it's always like, I don't know. But what I, you know, the thing is, I can sit here and be like, you know what, I've tried going for this, I've attempted it, I've stepped out in faith, nothing has happened, and so forget it. You know, if God wants to give it to me, he'll give it to me. But you know, if I just sit there and never pray for people, if I never step out in faith and lay my hands upon that person and pray for them, if I just give that up, there's no way I'm going to reach breakthrough, you know? If I give up, there's nothing for me, right? If I just say, okay, I'm just going to endure not being able to heal people and whatever, if God wants me to do it, then he'll supernaturally do it for me. You know, if I do have that kind of attitude, I'm not going to reach it. And another thing for this year that I really felt like God put up on my heart was my youth ministry. You know, my youth ministry is quite small, right? And it's really difficult. Like, I can tell you, youth ministry is not an easy ministry to be involved in, especially if your big church doesn't have any youth, right? Like, if the adult church doesn't have any youth ministry is difficult, right? Because you're trying to find kids to come on Saturday, and they don't have to come to church. So they're like, yeah, my parents don't go to church, so it's hard. And we, over the years, you know, we saw some growth, and then we saw the growth die. And this year, we've kind of been struggling, you know. But we had about 5 kids, and you know, I mean, the fruit is definitely there. Right? We saw it at the baptism service. You know, three of them got baptized, and it's so powerful, so awesome. But it is a struggle. When on Saturday you come here and you have your games ready and you have your snacks ready and you have your sermon ready and you see 2 kids come and the other kids don't even bother to tell you that they're not coming and you're like, oh, you know, but that's okay, you know. And I don't know what God, you know, I don't know what his strategy is, but the thing is, if I just sit there and be like, you know what, I'm tired of this. You know, if God wants to bring breakthrough, then he'll do it. So I just sit there. I don't do anything. I don't try to reach out to kids. I don't call them up. I don't meet up with them. I don't do anything. It's not going to happen, you know? That's enduring till the end. Enduring this youth ministry until I go and move to another job or whatever, you know? That is not running. Running with endurance is it's hard. It's difficult. And there are things that's blocking, you know, breakthrough, but you keep going, right? You keep trying and you try new things, and I call the kids and I do the things that is necessary for me to experience the breakthrough. So, first is race that is set before us. We need to hear from God the goal that he has for us and run with endurance. Not endure till the end, but run with endurance. It's an active, it's a focus, it's an engaged kind of thing, not a passive, just waiting till the hard times are done or that kind of mentality. And then at the end of the passage, the writer of Hebrews says, consider him, Jesus, who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Right? He says, look at Jesus, so that you won't grow weary and that you won't lose heart. Basically, so that you won't give up in your running. That you won't give up running. And there are many reasons why we would give up, right? Sometimes we know this is something that God has put upon our hearts, but there are obstacles that get in the way, right? There are so many walls and you're like, you can't see a way out. It's definitely not easy. Running with endurance is definitely not an easy thing. And also there is the devil, you know, and he accuses us and he deceives us and he discourages us, right? There is someone that wants us to give up. You know, this I learned from Pastor Sam. Job number one of the devil. His job, his goal number one is to keep us out of heaven, right? To keep us, you know, out of relationship with God. That's his goal number one. But once he's failed that, for many of us, he's failed that because we already have a relationship with God now. We have trusted in Jesus Christ and we'll be in heaven with him. His goal number two, for those that have already that are already in the kingdom of God, is then to make us so ineffective in our walk here that we don't take anybody with us to heaven, right? His goal number two is to make us so ineffective, to really mess with our minds and to create circumstances as much as he can, to really just discourage us so that we would just give up and be so powerless, so ineffective, that we won't be able to do anything for the kingdom of God here on this earth. And if we can turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12, verse 10 and 11. Revelation 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death. Here we hear about the accuser of the brethren. And it's clear from the scripture that it's talking about the devil, right? He is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us before God day and night, it says. And what he does is he accuses us to ourselves, right? He is also called the father of lies. The devil is also called the deceiver of the world. And what he does is he puts these thoughts into our heart and he uses other people around us to accuse us, to discourage us. And basically his goal is that we would quit, right? He accuses us and says, do you call yourself a Christian? And you, I don't know what it is, you know, that you struggle with, but, and you go, I don't want to say it, but you know, do you call yourself a Christian? Are you sure you're a Christian? I mean, do you think God loves you? Even after all that you have done, even after all the disobedience, even after all your failures, do you think that God really called you to do this thing? Do you think that he really gave you that mission, that burden on your heart, you know? And he's a liar, a deceiver. He discourages you. And not only just in our own head, but he can use people sometimes. Well-meaning people, but sometimes they can come and that discourages us, you know? And basically the goal is that we would quit and we would give up in this race and just, you know, just grow weary and lose heart. And we have to understand that it is warfare, right? We're in a war. We're in a spiritual war every day, all the time. And we need to remember that there is an adversary. And this passage also gives us some clues as to how we can overcome, right? How can we overcome this accuser of the brethren, this enemy of ours? And it says, you know, verse 11, it says, they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even unto death. So those three things we're going to look at and we'll be done. But the first one is the blood of the Lamb. How do we overcome the enemy, the accuser of the brethren? The first is because of the blood of the Lamb. We're not talking about literal blood of the Lamb, eh? We're not some kind of cult. We're not, you know. It can be very weird if a Christian start talking about the blood, you know, the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb. Really, what that represents is Jesus' death on the cross, right? The blood of the Lamb represents Jesus' death on the cross. Romans 4:25 tells us that Jesus died for our sins, right? His death on the cross was for our sins. And John 1:29 says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, right? We have to understand that by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the death of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on the cross, all our sin, all our failures, all our disobedience, and anything that gets in the way of us and the relationship with God, it has been taken away. So when the devil comes to us and says, can you call yourself a Christian after you've done that? After that kind of disobedience? After that kind of thought and feelings that you have? Are you sure you're a Christian? You should give up. We can tell the enemy, don't even bother arguing with him. You know, he's a deceiver. He's a mastermind. You don't say, oh no, but I was good at this. You know, when he says, can you call yourself, you did this. And you know, no, but I did all this and I prayed and I read my Bible. You know, you don't try to argue with him. You don't try to defend yourself. You don't try to prove yourself to the enemy. You just tell him, hey, that's right. I did sin. I did disobey. But 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Right? We don't have to try to argue with the devil and say, no, but I have been good enough. You know, I am a good Christian. There's no point arguing like that. You just say, yeah, I sinned. I screwed up. I messed up. I've disobeyed. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from anything that might hold me against God, right? He has taken away our sins and we have been purified from all unrighteousness. Another thing is the blood of the Lamb, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, it proves God's unconditional love for us, right? That even when we have messed up, even when we are failing, even I look at myself and I'm like, man, sometimes I think, I'm a terrible youth pastor. But then God's love is not conditional upon how good I am, how successful I am, how effective I am at what I'm doing. He just loves me. He just loves me. You know, he proved that on the cross when he died for me when I was still in my sins. So, you know, that's also a reminder, and that encourages us to keep on going. And the last thing is, his death on the cross and his resurrection, it's his ultimate victory over Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. This is worth turning to. Let's turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in his triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place." It says, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph. Right? Because Jesus Christ has ultimately won victory over Satan, we can rest assured that God's going to lead us in victory. Right? The victory has already been won, and we just have to take that victory for ourselves. And God, it says, God will always lead us in triumph. If we persevere, if we hold on, and if we run with endurance, God's going to lead us in triumph. And 1 John 4:4 says, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." Right? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus is so much greater, and he has overcome the evil one, and his victory is our victory. This is a quote from Charles Spurgeon from the 1800s. He was a pastor, a minister. It says, "First, you are to regard Satan this day as being already literally and truly overcome through the death of the Lord Jesus. Satan is already a vanquished enemy. By faith, grasp your Lord's victory as your own, since he triumphed in your nature and on your behalf. The Lord Jesus Christ went up to Calvary and there fought with the prince of darkness, utterly defeated him, and destroyed his power. He led captivity captive. He bruised the serpent's head. The victory was the victory of all who are in Christ. He is the representative seed of the woman, and you who are of that seed are in Christ. Actually, you who are of that seed and are in Christ, actually and experimentally, you then and there overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb." It's a little bit difficult. But what it's saying is we have overcome the enemy. The victory that Jesus experienced when he was in our nature as a human being, he has given that to us. And so we also have victory over the enemy. And it's the death of Jesus Christ that has given us that victory. In Hebrews, the passage that we read earlier, it says, "Jesus, fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith." Philippians 1:6 tells us, "He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it." Right? Jesus is the one who began our faith, our journey in Christ, and he is the one that will perfect it. He is the one that will bring us to victory. So we rest assured in the blood of the Lamb, in the death of Jesus Christ, that the victory that Jesus experienced is ours to receive as well if we persevere and endure. The second thing, he says, we overcome by the word of our testimony. The word of our testimony. The testimony, that word is the same word as witness, right? And witness is the word that Jesus uses in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth." A witness is somebody, you know, who saw Jesus and they saw what Jesus did, right? And their testimony is of what they have experienced of God. And this is what we can do as we are running this race together. We can share with each other the testimony of what God has done in our lives. Right? And that's why the baptism service is so powerful, and it's one of our favorite services at SP. Because you go to the baptism service and you hear about all these people who have given their lives to Jesus Christ and their testimony of what God has done in their lives. And what it does is it encourages us, right? It inspires us, and it challenges us, and it moves us, and also builds our faith, right? When you hear the testimony of somebody that have moved in faith and that have seen victory, You know, at our house church, when everybody is sharing their breakthroughs and we hear about what God has done, it builds our faith and it encourages us and it says, man, if it could happen to that person, it could happen to me, you know? And you hold on to that and say, God, you're faithful. You know, we see that you're faithful through what you have done in their lives, and we're going to continue to walk in faith as well, right? So that's what we can do. We can share our testimonies with each other and give glory to God and help build each other's faith, you know, word of our testimony. And the last thing is they did not love their life even when faced with death. You know, it says they overcame because they did not love their life even when faced with death. This, what I believe is God is saying is sacrifice, right? Abandonment to God, sacrifice. In the Hebrews passage that we read, it talks about Jesus and how Jesus fixing our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, right? He had a joy set before him, and because of that, he was willing to make the sacrifice to do the things necessary to run this race with endurance. You know, anybody, you know, that achieves something, the World Cup is with us these days. It's very exciting. If you guys didn't know, Germany won last night. I don't know if you were watching, wondering. But tonight is the World Cup match, right? Spain and Netherlands, and apparently Paul the Octopus picked Spain. So I'm hoping that Netherlands will win, because I don't like this fact that this octopus is predicting the future. I think it's crazy. But you know, when there is the World Cup, and when and the prize in itself doesn't mean much, right? The trophy. You know, it doesn't cost that much to make the trophy. The value of the trophy is not in how much it costs, right? But the value of the trophy is in all the sacrifice and the effort that the athletes put into it. And that's why the trophy is so valuable. And one of the most valuable trophies that we can think about, that people talk about in the area of sports, is the 1997 NBA championship. I don't know if any of you know, but in 1997, Chicago Bulls was playing Utah Jazz, and apparently in Game 5, I kind of remember watching it on TV, Michael Jordan was super sick with a stomach flu. During the whole match, he would go to the sidelines to throw up, and he was struggling with dehydration, and the sickness was all over him. And apparently, like, doctors had to inject fluid into him to keep him hydrated, basically. But throughout the entire game, he played 44 minutes out of the 48 minutes available in the game, in the match. And he scored 38 points. And he scored the last winning basket to bring them over the Utah Jazz in Game 5. And so the 97 championship, that trophy, means so much because of the sacrifice and the work and the effort that Jordan had put into it, you know? And we all know that when we have a goal in mind, when we have something that God has, or something that we want, you know, we know that it requires sacrifice. We know that in the natural world and in the spiritual world, the things that God has put upon our heart, it requires sacrifice. You know, Jesus, he endured, it says in our passage in Hebrews, Jesus endured the cross, and despising the shame, and he also endured hostility by sinners against himself. These three things, it's physical pain, right? The cross. He endured physical pain. He endured shame, despising the shame, and he also endured hostility by people. So pain and shame and hostility by people, these things for me represent comfort, you know? Comfort, prestige, and recognition by man. And Jesus had to give those things up. He endured those things, losing those things for the goal that was set before him. A lot of us, you know, we live this life and we say to God, we say, God, you know, we'll live for you. We surrender our lives to you. Whatever you want to do, we want to join you and just use us. But we have these conditions attached. And we say, but, you know, I'll give my life, I'll live for you, but please make sure that I'm going to have more comfort, that there will be a pay raise, you know, at the end of what I have endured, and that more people recognize me, you know, that there is some recognition from people for what I've done, and that there is prestige. You know, we say, God, we will live for you and we will do all these things, but we have these conditions that we kind of unspoken maybe, but that's in our heart. Sometimes it's spoken, right? You know, sometimes we can be just after, you know, prosperity and all these things. But that's not necessarily what God wants to give us. You may get more prosperity. You may get more comfort in life, more money, more prestige, more honor, more respect. But that's not necessarily what God wants to give to us, right? He wants us to run to Him. And in Psalm 16:11, it talks about, it says, in your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. The joy that He wants to give to us is in the presence of God. And the race that we're running, you know, we're running for all these things that God may have put upon our heart. Ultimately, the race that we're running is to be closer to Him, to be in the presence of God. And we need to be willing to lay down some things. You know, we need to be willing to lay down the things that entangle us, you know, that put weight upon us, so that we can run the race with endurance that God has set before us. So, what are you running for this year? What are the things that God has put upon your heart? And let's just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us and remind us. Look back at your note. If you have a note, look back at it and see, what did I write at the beginning of the year for the things that I wanted to contend for, the things that I wanted to run for, the things that I was believing in God for this year of reaping? And have you been losing steam? And if you have, it's okay. There is no condemnation, right, for those who are in Jesus Christ. But the encouragement from the Lord today is, let us run to the finish line, right? Let us run with endurance to the finish line and see the year of reaping really realize, you know, in this year. And for the things that God has put upon us, we first trust in the work of Jesus Christ, know that the victory is in Him, and know that He is the author and perfecter of our faith. Secondly, we share with each other the victories that we have already experienced, and we encourage each other, and we speak into them what we see God doing in their lives. Right? And the last thing is, we need to be willing to lay down some things. You know, we need to be willing to lay down things that get in the way of us really running the race with endurance. So, Chris, if you can come up and lead us in worship. Let's just close our eyes and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Let's just ask Him, Holy Spirit, Father, we just want You to speak to us, God, and renew some of the goals or some of the things, you know, that You have put upon our heart at the beginning of the year, the things, the promises, God, that You have given to us, that we have been contending for. I pray that You would remind them to us, God. And for those of us that haven't got anything, you know, we don't really know what we're running for, I pray, Lord, that You will speak to us as well and draw us into Your presence so we can hear from You and find out from You, God, what it is that You have called us to do. You know, what is the purpose for our existence, you know, for this year? Why are we here in Hong Kong, and what are You doing in our lives? And so, Father, I ask you to come and speak to us. Holy Spirit, we just give you this time. Remind us, Lord, of the things that you put upon our heart in the beginning. And I pray right now that you would encourage us, God. And Father, I repent of the ways that I have given up, you know, that I have just stopped running with endurance. And I pray that you would be with all of us, God, that you would rekindle that fire, that passion, and that focus, Lord, to run with endurance, God. Lord, may we not lose steam at the middle of the year, God, but help us to run to the finish line where we can really look back and give testimony of how great you have been, Father. Let's rise and sing this together.
Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in humbly you came. Humbly you came to the earth you created. All for love's sake became one. So here I am. Here I am. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say. Together worthy, all together wonderful to me. Here I am, so here I am to worship.
Asking us, you know, what are we willing to sacrifice? You know, what are the things that we need to lay down? If we truly want to run this race with endurance, you know, it says, lay aside everything that entangles us and the sin that, you know, hinders us, and run the race with endurance. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for your word that encourages us to run with endurance. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the one that started, you know, this work in our hearts, and you will be the one faithful to complete it, God. So we trust in you. And we thank you for what you have already done, God, in the lives of many of our friends and brothers and sisters here, God. And we just declare that you are faithful, and that you are good, and that you are with us, Lord. And so we look to that. And lastly, Lord, help us to surrender and sacrifice some things, you know. God, the things that weigh us down, the things that entangle us, God, the things that distract us, Lord, I pray that we will be able to sacrifice and lay them down, abandon before you, Lord, so that we can really run the race with endurance. You know, run and do the things that you have put in our hearts, God, the calling that you have given to us. So we... ask you to empower us, God. We thank you that you're already here and that you're already willing to empower us, God. You don't want just an emotional boost, God, but you are here with a real dunamis power, the dynamite power of God and the Holy Spirit. You want to fill us up, God. So, Lord, we just say, come, fill us up, Lord. Give us the strength and all that is necessary for us to run, God, with endurance. So thank you, Lord, for this day. Father, I just want to bless all our church members. God, go with them wherever they go this week. Lord, give them strength, your protection, your provision, God, and your guidance every step of the way. And that they just see the power of God manifest and that they will witness, you know, the faithfulness of God upon their lives. So we thank you, Lord, and we worship you today. We love you. Bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. There's some snacks at the back.